We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully work in me. Let's pray. Lord, open your word to us and open our hearts to your word. Lord, the meditation of my heart be pleasant to you, my Lord and my Savior. Amen. I'm so pleased to bring the word of God today to you. Forgive me if I commit some mistakes in my pronunciation. Be merciful to me. One day I was preaching how important it is to be people of God. Of course, I was preaching in English. And then, little by little, I was so preaching with enthusiasm. And then I said, brothers, you are important for God. And I said, you are important for God. I repeated that many times during my... After the sermon, the service, the rector said, Bishop, please don't say important. Say important, please. Next week, half of the women became pregnant. No. No, that is... No. Tonight, I don't want to offend anyone here in this church. Please receive greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus from Chile, my country where I was born, but also from my province, the southern cone of America. As you know, we have been part of a close relationship with Canada, especially through the crisis, and we are so grateful. They played the important role that Bishop, my predecessor, Bishop Greg Venables, played in those days. Behind Greg, all of us were supporting him. And we said, Greg, go ahead. Our brothers and sisters, our true believers, biblical people in Canada need our support. And Greg came here and provided all the support. But behind, as I said, behind Greg, all of us were there. But also, Canadian people has a special place in our heart, you know, in the Diocese of Chile, because one of the Canadian missionaries came 1895 to work among our indigenous people. His name was Charles Sadler. He came to Chile 1895. The Anglican Church of Chile has three main steps. The first one is English chaplaincies. That was at the beginning of the 18th. In those days, we were not allowed to have other services than Catholics in Latin America. Then the authorities allowed to receive missionaries in order to work among our indigenous people called Mapuches. And Charles Sadler went to work among them, among our indigenous, as I said, called Mapuches. And the third step is to open the Anglican Church to the country. If you think, one of the resolutions of the Lambeth Conference of 1958 was Latin America is not a Christian continent, it's a pagan one. For that reason, we encourage, we urge people, missionaries to go and preach the gospel in the cities. If you think, the first Anglican church in the capital city of Chile, Santiago, was founded in 1969. 43 years ago, 1969. Today we have 22 churches in Santiago. Yeah, we always want to plant churches in different areas where we are. This is more or less, you know, this a brief presentation of our diocese. I have a question for you. Have you ever thought why God calls us and treats us as sheep? Have you ever thought about that? Why God sees us as sheep? The answer is very easy. We are sheep. We all are sheep. And sheep had two characteristics. The first one is an animal who suffers of lack of orientation. Yeah, that's the... If you go to rural areas, you will see, you know, the behavior of sheep and terrible, you know. And that's, you know, the saying, lost sheep, it's very easy to get lost for them. But also it's an animal who suffers of protection, lack of self-protection and defense. We are like that. It's very easy in life. It's very easy in our own ministries, in our families, to get lost. Even maybe for older priests, what were your dreams when you started your ministry? Where are you now? Are you lost or are you still in the right track for Jesus? I remember a man I met in my country who said, when I was young, I wanted to serve people. I wanted to serve the society. Now I am 60 years old. He said, now I'm thinking about myself. I don't care about others because life has treated very bad to me. You know, and he came to the church, but he had that attitude to his life. As I said, it's very easy to get lost in our life. And my meditation today, I want to lead in that way, in order to have a kind of yellow light for our life. If we think about the book of Colossians, when Paul wrote that book, at the beginning of the book, Paul wrote to them giving praises because Paul was so happy knowing that they received the gospel with joy. They received the gospel with commitment. And they were able to develop faith in the Lord, even in the middle of crisis. But also they developed love each other. The Colossian church was a loving church, taking care from each other. But also the Colossian church developed hope for the future, because always they had in mind that they will be together in heaven. But Paul also prayed for them in order that they can grow in the knowledge of God. Paul prayed in order that they, in everything they do, they can please God. They can bear fruit for God. They can be strengthened by God. But also Paul gave thanks to the Lord for them because they were very close to the Father and to his Son. And they wanted to be faithful to both, Lord our Father, but also our Lord Jesus. Now, when Paul approached to this chapter, at the end of chapter 1, Paul had some concern. At the beginning, as I said, he wrote, good work. You catch the gospel in the right way. But Paul's great concern was about false teaching around the community. False teachers came to the church, false teaching around the people. And that was his great concern, specifically in the chapter we read today. And for that reason, Paul said to them at the beginning, God has been chosen, or Paul, he has been chosen in order to reveal the secret plan of God for them. And the secret was quite easy for Paul when he wrote that. Christ lives in you. And this is your assurance that you will share in his glory. The secret that Paul spoke to them was Jesus. Now Jesus is revealed to you. For that reason, said Paul, we want to present them to God perfect, or the version you have is mature, in their relationship. And this is a key word to think tonight. Because if you understand that word perfect or mature in the way that Paul addressed the people, I think we can have a clear understanding of our mission and our work for the future. The Greek word for that is teleion. And teleion is in many places. And according, for example, when I read many different verses, 1 Corinthians 2:6, 14:20, Ephesians 4:13, Philippians 3:16, and Colossians 4:12, all of them, if we summarize what Paul is saying to the church, his great desire is that all Christians be mature spiritually speaking. To be mature means that we have to be prepared in order to resist all kind of tests, temptation, teaching, or attack to the church or people. Maturity, according to those verses, means maturity is the opposite of a child attitude. A child is unstable, changes all the time. He is not prepared for heavy food or solid food. A mature person is the one who has wisdom from God in order to discern good and bad. But also is a person who is mature in his thinking manner. He looks like Jesus in faith and knowledge of God. A mature person is the one who is able to follow rules, but also is one who is firm and stable. A mature person is a person who has good judgment, prudence, and good sense. A mature person, he or she knows who really is in character, thinking, behavior, and know the rest of the people. This is, I think, the most important characteristic for a mature person. I know who I am. I know my strength and my weaknesses. I know where my strong points are and where my weak points are. And then I can behave myself. A mature person is the one who is able to say no when he has to say no, and yes when he has to say yes. In my case, I'm still struggling with that, because many times I say yes when I want to say no. I'm still in the process of being a mature person. And I think all of us, normally we suffer in that way. And that's Paul's meaning, you know, a person who wants to present, when Paul prayed, in order that we can present to the Lord a mature person. I see, for that reason, Paul said, for that reason, I work hard. I work with all my energy that our people, the people we are pastoring, must be united to Christ. And in that meaning, to be Christian means that in all things we have to be united to Christ in his death and resurrection and be free from the power of our sinful nature. With this unity, we have the same divine nature of Christ. You know, when you present or when you work with an ordinary Christian in your church, our goal should be to work with him or with her in order that he or she can be like Christ, united to Christ, then become mature in order that he or she can resist different aspects of life, temptation, attacks, etc. That is our work as pastors, as leaders, and as church. For that reason, Paul wrote that, as I said. Paul had concern about his brothers and sisters at the Colossian church. False teaching. For that reason, Paul said, I want to work hard in order to present them mature to Christ or in Christ. What about us? We are facing the same kind of problem. In our midst, we have false teaching. You have suffered because of that. I really believe that the Episcopal Church of the United States and the, how do you say, the Church of Canada? Anglican Church of Canada has a false teaching, a false gospel. It's a different gospel we have. And for that reason, those teaching are surrounding us there. What can we do? This morning, I mentioned to you one aspect. When we think about our mission, I will repeat it. In the Diocese of Chile, our mission statement says, the Anglican Church of Chile exists in order to glorify God. While we wait for the second coming of Jesus, we want to proclaim the gospel, we want to do discipleship, and third, we want to serve our society. This is our goal. For that reason, we work for Jesus. But one of our temptations is to go to another way, to be distracted from things. In our case, as I said this morning, as leader, it's very easy to work on institution, to be busy for the institution. We need the institution, but when 90% or 95% of our work is done, I think we have to reflect on that. And we have to do an adjustment for that. When we work for institution, we produce church people, but not God's people. But if we work for the gospel, for mission, for the proclamation of the gospel, we will produce people of God, men and women of God. But now, this is one aspect. Another aspect, in order to get lost, is when we don't care and when we don't put attention about what's going on in people's belief today. And I think that postmodernity is affecting our people. And postmodernity is producing lukewarm people. Our churches here in Canada, I'm sure, but same thing in Chile, we had many people seated in our pews with a lukewarm attitude because they had been affected by postmodernity. Let me remind you a little bit about postmodernity, and I summarize that in 4 P. The first P is physical image. Postmodernity leads people in order to worship our bodies. Our physical image is so important for us that we are willing to spend the money we don't have in order to look great. In Chile, day by day, you know, gymnasiums has appeared, but not for health, because people want to look great. Last year, a young lady who felt herself that she was overweighted, she went to Argentina in a kind of rural area in order to receive a surgery in order to look, you know, thin. And she died. She died because of the anesthesia. And then her husband said, I really loved her, how she was, but she never accepted her body. That is the effect of postmodernity. You have to spend money in order to have a beautiful nose, you know. Yeah. That's, we all want to look great. Like me. Oh. The second P, pleasure. Pleasure. There is a worship to hedonism. Comfort. Look for comfort. You have an ordinary member of the church, Jim Packer. Oh, Jim Packer, a beloved brother. He wrote a book, maybe you have read it, Hot Tub Christianity. Hot Tub Christianity. And what Jim Packer said in that book, people are looking for pleasure in the church. They are looking for a show. I'm coming to the church because of, I want to receive a show. You know, I want to be seated, be in comfort. I don't want to hear about mission, about sacrifice for Jesus. I want to hear good words, nice thoughts in the church. I don't want to commit myself to the Lord. Please, no. This is for the pastor, not for me. I'm so tired. I'm working so hard. I don't want to work for the Lord. But I'm willing to give some money. Yeah, I can help you. But in my heart, I don't have commitment because I am looking for pleasure in the church. The third P, the first P is physical image. The second is pleasure. The third is possessions. Worship to materialism. To have money, to have goods is not bad. But when my security is around the money, around the goods I have, that is the problem. Because finally, I don't put my security in Jesus, in the Lord. I don't see him as my supporter, as my really Lord. Because I want to work hard in order to have more money and more goods. Because I want to be secure in life. And this is in the very inner part of our hearts, in my society. People are working hard in order to have possessions. And finally, the fourth P is power. Power. Maybe you can say, I don't have a desire to be president of the country or prime minister. But be careful, because it's worship to success. We all want to be first. We work in a world of competencies. We pay high price for family, children. Family is suffering because I'm so busy in my work because I want to be first. This is also, you know, the effect of postmodernism in our lives, in the life of our ordinary people coming to the church. And that is the distraction for them. If we don't care about that, if we don't mind, we will produce lukewarm people in the church. And having lukewarm people, we will never be a mission-minded church, mission-minded people, because postmodernism is affecting us all. For that reason, we have to be careful. When we hear Paul's advice, I work hard in order to present them mature to Christ. Work with your people. Move them from lukewarm in order to be active for the Lord. And you will see the result of that. We have been called by God in order to go and look for the lost sheep in our midst. Our people are lost, completely lost. They don't know what life is. Even they don't know how to behave. They need our advice. They need our knowledge. They need the word of God at the end in order that they can put in the right place, their life. One man in my church said one day, my problem started when I met Jesus. Yeah. And the reason was because he was always leading his life according to his own understanding or according to his own wisdom. He understood his life as father and husband, providing money for the family. He had a good job. He earned a lot of money. He saw his life as the one, as a provider for his wife and children. But his mind and heart were out of the house. For him was more important his friends, you know, football, you know, things around the family, and not around his wife and children. For that reason, he says, my problem started when I met Jesus, because then Jesus put order in his life. And then he came to the church for confirmation. And in his testimony, he said that before Christ, my life was in a complete disorder. Now with Christ, my life is in order. You know, that is our work, is to work with them in order that they can find Jesus, they can find the way for life, and then work for the Jesus. Brothers and sisters, if you want Canada for Jesus, for Christ, work for the maturity of your people. Work for them. If you do that, at the end, your energy will be multiplied because you work with people in order to be mature, different ones. And they will reproduce that work in others. And you will see that as a tsunami at the end, you know, growing, growing, growing. And if we all do that, we will see a different Canada and a different Chile, because we are working in the right way to work for the maturity of our people, and then they will become committed people for the Lord. I really want Canada for Jesus, but also I want Chile for Jesus and the Southern Cone for Jesus. How many of you say amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Our Lord, thank you for this word today. Help us first to work in our own lives in order that we can be mature for you. But also, Lord, help us to lead our people to maturity in Christ. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and energy to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.